Once upon a time in Wentworth, in far western New South Wales, while investigating the local op shop, Earthling Studios researchers met Cherry Cullinan, the op shop manager. A conversation with Cherry revealed she and her husband had effectively been driven off their family property by a mining company that uses groundwater to mine rare sands from an ancient seabed there. Don and Cherry Cullinan invited Kath Eaglesham and myself to their home in Wentworth to talk about living on the Lower Darling today and yesterday.
You are listening to The Vanishing River, Voices from the Darling, a radio series interviewing real people living along the Barwon-Darling River system in western New South Wales, outback Australia. The interviews in this series were recorded in April and May 2018, and please stay tuned.
I'm Don Cullinan. I've retired to Wentworth 2 years ago. I was off the land of 60,000 acres supplied by the Darling River, and now it's gone dry.
How long was your family on the land reliant on the Darling River for?
Yeah, we come here in 1886. Mainly it was all tanks them days, plus the river frontage.
When you were on the land, Don, did the over-allocation of water licences in the northern sector of the Darling River affect your livelihood?
Yeah, it did.
In what way, Don?
Because you were never guaranteed you were going to get, when it rained up north, you were never guaranteed you were going to get water. Because they pumped it out or they banked it off at Menindee. But yeah, the cotton growers up the top, as they got bigger and bigger, they just pumped more water.
The Menindee Lakes was originally a natural lakes.
Yep.
And then in the 60s, you'd remember when they made it into a water supply for Broken Hill, and they said that Broken Hill would never, ever need water again. Can you share your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was around. I was only young then. But I can remember them putting that in, and it was a good setup. Only the lakes weren't deep enough, but the setup and the idea of it was great. Yeah, they've just over allocated, and therefore the lakes aren't as efficient as they used to be.
Do you remember when you lived on the land fishing at all?
Yeah. we used to always go fishing there.
And now there's no water in the river, so your next generations, your son and your grandson, can't fish there, is that right?
Well, we're hoping they can, but the way it's going, it won't be, because the river's stopping and the water in the holes are running out of oxygen, and as soon as the water comes down, they die.
I'm guessing that you had a good cod hole on the property.
Yeah, we had them, yeah.
Why did you decide to leave the land?
Well, only because I got too old. Yeah, the mine pushed us out.
How did the mine push you out, Don? I'm interested to know.
Because we only own the first 4 inches or 6 inches of the land, and the mine's got more pull with the government than we have, so they just can take it over.
How did they get onto your land to find what they were looking for?
They just had the rights. They just walk in and take over. But apparently that has changed now. But when they come into ours, we couldn't stop them.
Now, we were talking about the Menindee Lakes. There's drilling going on around there. Yeah. Do you think there's a hidden agenda and that they're after mineral sands there, and that's probably why they like to keep the lakes dry?
But that might be our mineral sands. Ours was an inland sea on Trelega, and that's why they're drilling there, because they're getting the seaweed. That's what they're mining, seaweed years ago. So there could be that in the Menindee Lake system.
Quite possible.
The Menindee people we spoke with, the community members, said that they weren't drilling for water, but they were looking for rare earth and mineral sands.
Yeah. They'd know more than us.
Yeah. Mm.
Do you think there needs to be a federal royal commission into the over-allocation of water, the water theft from the lower reaches and the water trading that's going on?
Definitely. They've sold more water off than they can possibly get. And there's no regulation of how much water they're pumping out of the Darling. It's only how much they're putting onto the crops. Because what they put in the dams, they don't regulate. They have a meter on that. It's only what they take out of the dams, whatever.
Seepage,
evaporation. They don't have to pay for.
Do you think that there also needs to be a reduction in the size of the pipes that they use in the north, the big irrigators, when they're extracting from the river?
I don't think they should be allowed the licences they've got with the rights to pump whether the river's up or down. To me, what they had back in 10, 15 year ago, where the rivers had to be over 25% before they could start their pumps, is a better idea than what they've got now.
What about those old Italian guys who came here, worked their lives to build an orchard next to the river because that's where the water is, and then got priced out of the market and couldn't even buy water to water their trees? Mm-hmm. How sad mm-hmm. is that?
Going on all the time.
These properties down the Darling, I mean, we know a lot of people that have got plantings.
Yeah.
And what are they going to do? They've got no water. They haven't got water now.
Mm.
So I don't know how you survive. The government wants to buy back their land, but they don't want to. They want to live that life and that lifestyle.
Have water, which is a basic human right.
Yeah.
So that brings in the issue of this being a human rights issue. Why do you think it is that Queensland can hold the water back from New South Wales, yet New South Wales has to give their water to South Australia?
They made the error of having South Australia put in a lot of money into Menindee. So they own 45% of Menindee.
Which is a big dry lake.
Mm.
At the moment.
And it won't fill up again unless it has
big
flood.
Floods.
Is that
in
correct?
Queensland. Yeah, got to get Queensland floods. Well, this pipeline that they're putting in now, they're just taking as much water as they like out.
How do you think the pipeline's going to affect the community here in Wentworth?
The Murray's supplying Wentworth. It's up further, but why? Why does it's not even going to Broken Hill, this pipeline? It's going to a mine up there.
Yes, I heard that. And without any community consultation.
Yeah, none of us knew until the pipes started to arrive. Why is that? Why wasn't it discussed for a little while beforehand?
None of the money's coming from Australia, so you know what's going to happen with the minerals, because they're going to put it on boats and send it to China to bloody sort it all out. So they earn their money in China and pay taxes in China, not here.
But how can they take water from the Darling River?
Not take it from the Darling.
They're taking it from the Murray.
How many rivers do you think they're going to destroy in the process?
Well, the Murray will be the next on the line because it can't supply.
If it can't supply South Australia, how is it meant to supply Broken Hill?
Well, the Murray is supplying South Australia everywhere. The Eyre Peninsula and the York Peninsula, and it's all pipelined. We know where the water comes from. It's only got one spot to come from. That's that Murray.
When you were living on the land, did you have an affinity with the wildlife?
Oh, yeah, you've always got.
They've been part of us.
Mm. Yeah. And what's it do to them?
If I heard the Menindee Lakes described by one person as like Kakadu, people go there to see the birds, and they said it was equally as good
at Menindee
Lakes. It was beautiful. Used to be.
Yeah, it used to be a beautiful spot.
But there's no bird life.
They spent thousands around the edge of that bloody lake. People out of Broken Hill. They all had little shacks there and that, and they all went there for holidays. Now it's all gone.
It's like a dust bowl.
Mm.
And yet the people on the eastern states can also be affected by the dust. We saw it a few years back. when the dust travelled right across. We had it at my place on the north coast of New South Wales.
Through Sydney.
Sydney airport, planes couldn't land. Do you think it's going to take more dust bowls for people to really wake up and see what's going on?
It'll be too late.
You are listening to The Vanishing River, Voices from the Darling, a radio series interviewing real people living along the Barwon-Darling River system in western New South Wales, outback Australia.
Do you think it's going to take more dust bowls for people to really wake up and see what's going on?
It'll be too late.
What is your message to the world about the water situation here?
Just let it be normal. Don't take it for rice and cotton in a driest continent on earth. It's just ridiculous.
That's what it's all about, money, but from here to Paxhall and Tibooburra, they are going to be out of water. Because when these rivers stop running, their bores are going to stop running. Because until you get to the bloody artesians up in Queensland, which come from New Guinea, and if they keep pushing the trees out over there, New Guinea will go dry too, and they'll run out of water. The whole lot will run out of water.
We don't really know what the impact of all of the bore water.
We do.
Is, can you explain it, please?
Well, the mine come in. We had 3 bores on the property. We used 4 inches of the water. They come in. Now we've got no bores.
Yeah, they're dredging this mineral out in salt water. So.
And what happens to the salt?
Well, it's going to come up and into the fresh water. And the salt's all over the roads. They wet the roads down with salty water. It's all white.
Through the farming country, but not in the mine. They've got to use fresh water in there.
Where exactly is this mine?
On Trelega Station, just
north
of Wentworth, between Perncary and Wentworth, but it's on the west side of the Darling.
Just in a nutshell, one at a time, what's wrong with the Darling River today?
There's no water in it. That's what's wrong with it. The Darling River, there's no water in it, and it's dry and...
But why is that?
Because there's...
Pumping it out.
They keep opening the gates at Menindi until it's all gone, and then we've got nothing. Last winter, they just let about 8 foot down, and their idea was that they were flushing the river banks for the environment, so we'd have a 10, 12-foot river, and then they'd shut it off, so we'd have to lift pumps, put pumps down. And then now we went into summer with no water.
Can you see a solution for this problem?
Yeah.
So if we could stop the greed with these big cubby stations and... That's where the problem lies. Federal Royal Commission would be a lot better off.
Yeah. Same as the banks. If they got into it and delved into it properly, they would find heaps of problems.
Well, the banks are implicated in what's going on here on the Darling River as well.
Same thing, money.
Do you think it'd be better for the Darling if it went back to dry land farming and didn't have the big irrigators?
There's a place for it, but it's got to be regulated.
Well, Menindi put in a lot of table grapes because they're in early and they hit the Sydney market early. And there was nothing wrong with that at Menindi. That was good. Feeds the country. But they're cotton farms. Take them to a wet country.
Do you think that it's unfair for the government to apply this pressure to the small communities along the Lower Darling and force people to leave their homes where they've always lived because they're cutting services, they're making them drink bore water, so they've got to pay for all of this plastic bottled water all of the time? What's your thoughts on that?
That's why we're so cross about all this stopping the Darling and pumping out of the Murray to go up north where they don't have to if they'd let it run. We wouldn't have been out of water. Their thing was that it kept evaporating. Well, so be it. Doesn't the water evaporate anywhere when you're trying to hold it in a dam to... Doesn't matter where you are, water is the most precious thing we've got. And
water is life.
It is. Yeah. You can't
It'll
live
without
it.
It'll be the next thing we fight a war over. Farmers will commit suicide because they've got $1 million property and no water. It just kills them inside.
So, you know, we want to talk about this. We want to keep the conversation going. That pipeline, do you think it's people that have done this or corporations that have done this?
Government, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, government's
that's our biggest problem.
They're the ones that make the rules. It goes back to the government every time.
It goes back to Neville Rand's day when they just...
Yeah, they just... That was the start of it all.
Tender. Yeah.
If the Prime Minister or Barnaby Joyce was sitting here right now, what would you be saying to him?
He probably wouldn't get a cup of tea.
Just the same, you know. Why stop our rivers flowing? We don't want our rivers stopped flowing.
Once you stop the farms, you stop the income.
Well, it's just
then
it's, not just
then
the
it's
farms.
A dust bowl.
It's everything. Bird life, whale life. What are the animals going to drink?
What's your message to the listeners?
Let our rivers flow. Doesn't matter which river it is. We need to have water flowing down rivers. Stop these big cotton farms and rice farms that just take the rice back to where it should be grown, in a wetter country. We're too dry out here. We need our water. We need our river. You know, the recreation on a river.
Thanks for talking to us today.
That's all right.
It's good to get the voices of the ordinary people that have lived on the land and know the water and have seen, had a gaze on it for so many generations.
Do hope the common people, everyday people, listen to us all, because that's what we need.
This is The Vanishing River, Voices from the Darling. Interviews with real people affected by ever-diminishing flows along Australia's iconic Darling River. The Vanishing River, Voices from the Darling, is produced by Earthling Studios at Grassy Head, New South Wales. Executive producer, Mark Merritt. Field coordinators and technical assistants by Susie Peake and Kath Eaglesham. Interviews by Mark Merritt and Kath Eaglesham. Voiceovers by Sally Hook. Please write to us with your feedback. Post Office Box 30, Stewart's Point, New South Wales, 2441.
The darling is dying, please take my word.
Earthling Studios is an independent media production collective devoted to informing with facts and trends about those things that determine our collective futures. To find out more about issues and matters related to the Darling River, go to the Vanishing River website, www.thevanishingriver.com.au. thevanishingriver.com.au